Tzadi Zayin. We're in the middle of chapter 2. We started in the middle of, we're near the beginning of chapter 2. Section Bet. And Rav Teichtel described until now, we're going to continue on the same idea. Rav Teichtel described until now the idea that if the Jewish people follow the way of the Torah and they follow the word of God and they merit, then the Geula will be supernatural. And if they don't follow the Torah and they don't do the will of God, then it will be natural. Okay, so meaning Zachu, right, then it's just the way he says it, Im Zachu, Im Anane Shmaya, Lo Zachu, Ani Rochev Al Chamor. Right, what's the name of the team, of the Ultimate Frisbee team? Riding on white donkeys or whatever, right? A poor person riding on a white donkey, which just reinforces the notion that isn't the idyllic messianic dream that everybody thought that it would be or should be. Okay. We're now on, I'm on the second paragraph on the bottom of Tzadi Zayin. Umemele, al pizat tavin mashu imu chazal b'midrash shachar tov. Very, very famous midrash. Katub omer, achad omer, migdol. One says, you know, you have, we say in the benching, migdol yishuot malko, and magdol yishuot malko. And that's also a pasuk from Shmuel. Katub echad omer, magdil. Amar Avyudin. Avyudin says, l'fisha ein gula shal umazo ba'a bebat achat, Elakima Kima. Right? As was it to point out, okay, the redemption is not going to come at one time, rather, Kima Kima. That's a very famous, very important phrase. Little by little, bit by bit. Umahu Magdil Yeshuot Malko? Himit Gadelet Veholechet Lifnei Yisrael. That it grows and increases before Israel. Lefishem Achshav Shuriyin Betzarot Gidolot. Because now they are stuck in great suffering. I was thinking about this imagery. Think about a person who's a scuba diver. Right? Now, the scuba diver, for whatever reason, medically, if he's down at the bottom, he can't come up too fast. Because he'll have something called the bends, and he's talking about his oxygen level, and it'll kill him. Do you tell me the very thing that he needs in order to live? That kills him if he gets it too quickly. Air. Right.
No, it's the pressure, isn't it?
No.
It's a blood oxygen level. It's the oxygen level in the bloodstream or something like that.
Dissociation, I think. Yeah.
You're the medical.
It's a dissociation that causes air bubbles to come in. It causes emboli. It blocks brain. It blocks the arteries in the brain.
Bottom line, is air good for a human being? Yes, he needs the air. It is the thing he needs the most when he's at the bottom of the ocean. But if he gets to it too quickly, the effort of getting it too quickly will kill you. And the Rav Teichtel will give another example. Akachi, meaning when you're sick, when you're on a low level, the exposure to extreme high level of spirituality can be devastating. Therefore, the redemption will come slowly, bit by bit. And it grows and increases. That's why the redemption is known, is alluded to, is allegorized to the shachar, to the morning. Shneemar az yibaka kashachar orech. Orecha, orech. Then it will yibaka, shine, like the morning light. Lama nim shachar kashachar. I don't know if you ever heard this, okay? You ever heard this? There's a whole book somebody wrote, I remember who wrote it, called Ayelet HaShachar. Heard of that phrase? It's a very, very famous phrase. The Ayelet HaShachar is the first shining of the light. Why? So this is Rav Teichtel talks about every book you'll ever see that talks about classic Zion, religious Zionist ideology. We'll talk about this Ayelet HaShachar, the first light. Why? She'en lecha afeila gedola miyota shah asmucha leboker. What's the darkest time of night?
Just before the dawn.
Ve'im ya'ale galgal chama beota shah kol abriot nilkadim. So what if the sun were like, show up, shine immediately. So the human beings, all the entire world, the creations would nil kadin. I think it means what?
Get trapped.
Get?
Trapped.
Trapped. Nil kad, right? Why? Ella, I don't know why it means trapped. But yeah, I think it means they would...
Like animals need to get out the dark and make way for the day.
Little by little. Slowly but surely. Ella, amud ha-shachar olam me'ir le'olam t'chila. First you have the amud ha-shachar, the first rays of light. Then the sun begins to rise. Nobody gets trapped. Nobody becomes, I would say, paralyzed. V'orech tzadikim ke'or noga holech v'or ad nachon hayom. It grows and grows until the day is light. Ha'midrash v'daber ala ge'ula shetihiyah b'derech ha'teva. So this midrash is dealing with ge'ula, redemption, that is in a natural form. Az tzarich shetihiyah kima kima. It has to be slowly by slowly. K'dei shelo tzadik lehem. And remember what happened when it wasn't derech teva, when it was unnatural, when it was supernatural.
People retracted.
What's that?
The people retracted.
Retracted. They couldn't handle it. That when the God himself gave the Jewish people the Torah, the people themselves said,
Too much.
We found that pasuk eventually. Remember that guy asked, we were like searching for it. It's really sad. Okay.
There's a problem with this midrash, though.
Why?
Because the geula doesn't necessarily happen this way. The insinuation would be that you start out small and that there's a continuous linear process that you can see.
Yeah.
And the sense that we've got, there's another midrash that basically says that it's also like Mayelis. But the Ayelet means that it comes out, and you can see parts of it, and it retracts, and then you can see parts of it until it comes out in the open. Meaning, you take two steps forward.
How's that like on Ayelet? What's an Ayelet? An Ayelet is...
Not Ayelet in the sense of the first Karen, but like a hunter who's looking for a stag.
Oh, Ayelet, like a ram?
Yeah. And then it goes, it hides, and then it comes out slightly, and then it hides until you finally catch it.
What do you do with the az yibaka k'shachar orech?
That's the thing, so it doesn't necessarily flow with this thing.
I've never seen it talked about, and that's interesting.
The Maharal takes this approach.
Really, that it's two steps forward, one step back.
That it's a couple
it jumps out, you see it.
It jumps out, and then finally it just pops up, and then you can see the whole thing. It's just that you would only see parts of it over time, and you would lose it for a little while, and then it would come out into the...
Why? Why don't you like this midrash, this one about the sun?
I don't think it holds true in our time.
How do you know? Why would you say that?
I think we take plenty of steps back for every step we take forward.
How do you know what's forward and what's back? You're assuming that giving up Gaza is a step back, correct?
Let's say.
How do you know? How do you know what's supposed to be in the end?
You can't deny the fact that if you have land and now you do not have land for whatever reason, it's a step back in terms of the conquest of Eretz Israel and staying put in our land, considering the people who lived in the Gaza area.
You know what? You might argue about Gaza, but put it in Bat Yerushalayim.
I don't want to talk about Gaza. The Gemara talks about, because I'm going to generalize it, certain acts are melachot that are destructive acts. But we all know that a destructive act in and of itself is not a melacha. It's not a violation of Shabbat. So then how can you violate a Shabbat by tearing? Let's say ripping. When am I violate Shabbat?
It's a constructive.
Correct. Sometimes a destructive act is a constructive act. So what you say is two steps back might very well be one step forward. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning in your limited perspective. So it takes, for example, someone is watching the process of it's a very famous allegory, process of growing of wheat. So I have this beautiful field, and what do? I chop it up. What are you, nuts? Chop it up? Yes. I have this wonderful pile of seeds. What do? Throw it in the dirt. Are you crazy? Finally, 2 months later, beautiful wheat. What do? Chop it down. What are you, nuts? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. You have this wonderful flower. What do? You mix it with water. What are you, crazy? Now all you have is mud. Oh, I make beautiful dough. It rises. Terrific. What do? I put it in the oven. I mean, the thing that you perceive as being a step back, I agree with you that in our limited ability to see, could very well seem like a step back. Yeah, but we're not on the trajectory that the Ribbono Shel Olam is. So it could very well be that it's Ola Kim'a Kim'a.
But then this midrash doesn't apply to us. It applies to the way Hashem does things. And the way that we look at things is, and the way that we understand things is the ability to just see and observe what we see.
I don't understand. Who says that it's coming from your perspective?
I'm trying to explain how we would understand and how we would see the coming of Mashiach. How God would see it, or how God plans it out, is how we would see it. And I think what Kev's trying to say is that what we see, even if it's even if everything is a step forward, because everything's for the good and everything's to get us to get to point Z or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But can you see
it
that?
It doesn't look like that for us.
Can you look back at your life and see that when that company shut down, that was the most important thing that ever happened to you?
I'll tell you in a couple of years.
Exactly. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's in retrospect.
But that's exactly the point. Who says you're supposed to see it happen as it happens? He says that it's going to be kima akima. I don't understand. You're supposed to be able to witness the trajectory of history as it's happening, so therefore, and you base your belief on that?
No, but I base my belief on a midrash that says that it's more like an ayah, like it's hidden than it comes out, than I would on
like the ram better than that. Right, but mine is more famous.
I don't know about that.
Oh, for sure. Anybody ever heard the ram thing? Anybody here ever heard the...
I'll find you the source.
The sunrise thing? See, I've got a sunrise. You have no rams. Okay?
Great. Here you go. Trade you.
I'll go my scientific
I'll
survey.
For some
yes. You can work for the BBC.
I know a guy who says that the Arabs were persecuted. So it must be true.
If you work for the BBC, it would for sure be a step back.
I'm actually serious. I think that we want to be able to judge and see everything and understand everything. You know what I'm saying? And that's why sometimes I have trouble with people that live their lives based upon the messianic process. If you came here because you thought Mashiach was going to come for you, I mean, I think that I feel bad for you in a sense. You know what I'm saying? You're expecting.
Don't feel bad for me.
I was on the same
level.
Okay.
Chariot?
What?
It's not chariot.
Mashiach? Absolutely not.
We started.
The process that will bring the ultimate redemption, I believe, has begun. But is the Melech HaMashiach here?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, right? Okay, so. We talked about this, the idea of the process of the person. Because if he was, he would help us destroy him while they can build a Beit HaMikdash.
Why? Maybe he's growing up.
That's what the Rambam
says.
Maybe
he is. Maybe that's part of the steps of taking us out of Oz. Maybe
it's
part of
it.
How long it takes him to...
Oh, you mean is he here? He hasn't revealed himself? Who knows? Could be.
Well, he is really, he's setting everything up.
Good, right? I agree. But you don't have to see it. We don't have to see it. I don't think we should have to see it in order to, I mean, we do what's up to us. And the Baal Shem Tov does what's up to him. Okay. Okay. Aval. And say we did it. Aval tiyeh al pines. If the redemption would be miraculous, tiyeh pam achat shelo b'hadragat teva. It'll happen instantaneously. Not through natural means. V'yan shatzarot ba'o al yedei avonotehem. And because these tzarot that we talked about came because of the sins of the Jewish people. She'il malei hayu b'china zachu. Because if it weren't for our sins, we would be meritorious. She'osim b'ton ha'shem makom. Because we would then be doing the will of God. La hayu b'tzarot g'dolot. V'hayu cholin lisbol ha'or ha'gadol shel gula. Then we wouldn't be in such difficult straits. And we would be able to withstand the light, the shining light of redemption. But if we are in the time of lo zachu, we don't merit the miraculous redemption of the Jewish people, which he says we obviously don't. Then we have to have chevrei Mashiach. Meaning, if it's going to be natural, then you have to have the birth pains of Mashiach. And if it's going to be supernatural, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could redeem us just like that. But we didn't merit it. And that's why we suffer, because we sin. And since we're suffering, because we sin, it's almost like a circular logic. Since we suffer, since we sin, we suffer. Because we suffer, we can't have, it can't be miraculous. Because it can't be miraculous, we have to suffer, because we sinned. And the process of the redemption is a natural process. And the next paragraph. That's clear. It's clear. Got it, Kevin? It's clear.
I'll take a step back and
you can do it if you want. If you want. I'm not going to read this whole piece, just a little bit of it. Zal shono. Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Yumahachin, Bahada Bikat Arbel Bekritzta. Okay, they were walking in the Bikat Arbel in the morning light, before the light. Ra'u Ayelet Hashacha Shebaka Ora. You have heard this midrash, and if you haven't heard it for the first time, it's a very important piece of the Gemara. Then they saw the light beginning to shine. Amar Rav Chiya Rabba leRav Shimon bar Chalafta. He says to him, "Be Rabbi, kach igulat Amshay Yisrael. So is the redemption of Israel. B'tchilat kima, right? Originally, initially, it's little by little. Kol mashim alechet hi Rabba v'holechet." And as it grows in intensity and power. Ma'atama ki eshe b'choshech Hashem orli. Because I saw dwell in the darkness, God is a light to me. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It goes into Mordechai, etc., etc. But that's what, I mean, this is like your your classic religious Zionist ideology, that it starts very, very slowly, little by little, and as time goes along, it gains in power and intensity. And by that token, we should be moving along pretty good by now, don't you think? I mean, I don't know. How long is this supposed to take? You know, if it started slowly, slowly, I can get that. But then you had a state, okay, and now we have... I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what's supposed to happen next. You know what I'm saying? How is it supposed to grow? How is it supposed to build on itself? Are we moving in the right direction?
And who said you're not supposed to move backwards?
No, backwards is forwards. I understand that. I'm saying. Would you say, looking at things, that would be an accurate description of the... Or maybe you'll say, like I said, you can't see it. But can we see the redemptive process growing like the sunrise? As it gets bigger and bigger, it's easier and easier to see, or more and more shining brightly. We've got one silent frown who doesn't want to be recorded on the interwebs, right? You say no? It's hard to see. Oh, this is not, it's hard to see.
It's human nature, you never want to see anything here. People get comfortable.
See, it's interesting. Because in a way, you know, like... I think that the religious community, to some degree, it's very different than it was 15 years ago and 25 years ago. And that it has matured to a large degree. That it's matured to the point that people say, well, we fight with each other and we disagree with each other, but that's true. But that's because it's become extremely, extremely strong. The things that we take for granted as a religious community, you know, the political power that we have, us and the Haredim, the institutions that have been built, the religious status quo that people fight about still, but exists nonetheless. Meaning, take a power, a party like Shas. Shas is now like taken for granted, and like we fight about other things. You know what I'm saying? Like, and think about, like, you learn your ancient Israeli history, not ancient, your recent Israeli history, right? Shas was not, it didn't exist, it was labor forever. You know, you had 40 mandates for 45 Knesset seats for labor, and like 30 for Likud, or whatever it was called back then. What was it called? Ma'arach. And then nothing, nobody else. Now it's taken for granted that this religious, Sephardic religious party has a tremendous amount of political power. Tremendous amount of, you know what I'm saying? And they're doing great things. You might not agree with the tone or who their leader is or whatever, but they accomplish great things. So is that moving forward? Let's ask. All depends, I think, on your perspective. What are they going to do with it? No? Nobody buys mine.
You're putting it into a modern context.
I'm trying to. I'm not succeeding, so
I understand what you're doing.
It doesn't resonate.
We're talking about the dawn and all these great analogies and whatever, and you're trying to...
Natural dawn. Really, but it's natural. But it's a natural dawn. The redemption has to be natural. So assuming that it was natural, what would you expect it to happen? What would you expect it to be? That's the question. Not supernatural. Take your whole, like the visions that you had of like, you know, the sun opening up, the sky opening up, and the Beit HaMikdash falling down from the head. You know what I'm saying? It's a natural process, starting from zero, starting from the Holocaust, to get to Mashiach. So if you could design it yourself as a natural process, how would you envision it happening? What would you expect to happen differently? You understand what I'm saying? Like, when you take the supernatural expectation out of it, it becomes much more difficult to envision what I really expected, as opposed to what's happening now.
Well, even if you look on a Christ demographic level, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. world populations are shifting all the Jewish people to Israel.
Right.
The world populations are driving them out through subtle, unsubtle, whatever means.
Right.
Israel is becoming a force in its own. It can provide for itself, it can sustain itself, and whatever. Which 50
really?
Years ago...
Oh, yeah.
We're the main producers of vast quantities of things that you wouldn't realize that we do.
Correct.
And the only reason we do that is so that we have what we need to, we can sustain ourselves.
Whilst the rest of the world let us.
What's that?
Whilst the rest of the world let us.
What's the rest of the world?
Once the rest of the world
let us. Mm. Without a doubt, Israel's economic growth followed that trajectory. From mamish nothing to... a very, very advanced, pretty powerful country in a ridiculously short period of time. Meaning, I always listen to, remember when there was that earthquake in Haiti? So they, if you look at it, Haiti gave its independence pretty much exactly the same time as Israel was. You know, and now, where's Haiti compared to where it was 60 years ago? I think I remember this. Listen to it, like an NPR program on this. Haiti's worse off than it was 60 years ago. And you look at Israel compared to where it was 60 years ago, it's like, you know, many multiples of growth and expansion, in addition to having to absorb ridiculous amounts of immigrants and fight major wars. So from an economic perspective.
But from your natural progressive steps,
yeah,
it's fairly, if you were to design it, you would design it in a fairly, you would make some major shocks along the way that force things to happen or whatever it may be, but it's a fairly gradual.
That's fine from an economic process, but from a religious process, I don't see that happening. I don't see the same trajectory.
So now, then again, it's very interesting that you see it that way. Why is it by necessity that you expect that the religious process will parallel the economic process or the natural growth, the physical growth of the Jewish people as a force to be reckoned?
Because I would presume that it would be just as... Sorry. But I would presume that as far as the process of Mashiach...
I totally agree with you, what you said.
As far as the Mashiach, and like I see the process as far as economics is concerned, but I would posit that if you're going to talk about a natural process, that especially something like that through Mashiach, which is supposed to be more of the Jewish people coming closer to Hashem, I'll sideline the economic process as being the emtsa'i to get there, the means to get there. But the thing that I kept saying over the course of the last 60 years, is that there's more and more and more religious dissension amongst those people that are getting further and further to the right and further to the left, and there's less and less of a middle ground. The religious Zionists, essentially, are losing the battle.
Right, in terms of Torah learning.
We are?
It's very siloed, and it's not very... There's very few bridges that are being built
so
relative to the way it was when it started out.
So many more people are
That's
coming
fine,
back
it's,
to Torah. So
but it's siloed. It's fine. Like, the Haredim and the religious Zionists, for the most part, don't necessarily see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Those that are Dati and those that are not Dati are getting further and further apart. And I speak with the people at work all the time about this very topic, and they don't see as much of a middle ground as they used to. In fact, the people that used to be more traditional, that used to have their children do things like bar mitzvahs and things like that because it would be their one time of their life to be able to get some sort of religious experience, are becoming the minority relative to those people that are just telling their children to do whatever they want. Amongst the non-dati, it's fine.
I don't have any experience with this, so I can't really tell you.
So I think from our perspective...
All I can tell you is that I did a Shabbat program at a non-religious, like a Shabbat class at a non-religious institution for a group of non-religious Americans. And the Israeli woman who was in charge of the group, we started talking about Shabbat and whatever, and she said, every Israeli she knows has a Friday night dinner. It might not be Shabbat.
And I say that would be true.
No,
20...
She's not. She said no.
That would be true 20 or 30 years ago, and it would not be true now.
I'm part of people out from work. They've never had Kiddush in their life.
They don't have Shabbat dinner with their family? They don't come together for Friday night?
No.
Not to make Kiddush.
But on the counter to that, as I'm queuing to go through the airport, I fly to last year's tournament, there are 7-8 Indians on the team. So I said, because they said we have to make up a minion, because Yartsev, one of the young kids, had his dad passed away, we have to make a minion. I said, how are you going to do that? There are 14 of us here, plus a coach. There's no way out of these 15, 10 of us are Jewish. Every one of us is Jewish. What are you saying? How can you be so rude? The room was packed, plus the Israeli security guard came, plus another random Jew who was on one of the other teams joined. Then we had to make Kiddush for the Friday night in the middle of the tournament. It was the most moving Kiddush from this random secular Sephardi I've ever met. They all knew what was going on. They all wanted to be part of it. You looked at them and they all pick it on Shabbos. They all do whatever.
Well, you guys fight amongst yourselves. It's very difficult for us in Yabin Yamin.
I understand. It's such a huge gradual curve. It's a huge curve. It may, the experiences that
I actually like, Daniel, your first point even much more powerfully. Who's to say that it has to be religious first? I mean, we have our notions, we have our concept of what Geula is supposed to be. We, like, it's our picture, we know. Who are you, maybe it is the physical and the material first and the spiritual has to come later. Could very well be. If assuming that were true, then you'd be happy, right? Then you would...
I would presume that they would follow the parallel processes.
But maybe you'd presume incorrectly.
If you're going to follow this midrash.
Maybe you'd presume incorrectly. The redemption, meaning we don't, like,
yeah,
we always, we, I mean, that's not true. We said the redemption, Mashiach, is kima akima.
It is a gradual process. When people are hung off stars,
who says Mashiach is spiritual?
Like, in this country, there weren't organizations. There weren't. You had to, they literally were making their own foodstuffs to make sure it was kosher.
To counter that, I'll say that there are more restaurants that serve pig and calamari today in Israel than there ever have been.
Yeah, I understand this. But that's also part of
come on, how many are there?
Lots. In fact, the ones that every single time that our company has people come in from abroad, they take them for calamari. They don't take them for kosher food.
Turn to Kuf, page Kuf. Yeah, don't depress me. This is Mashiach. Okay, I don't care about your calamari. Hooray! He'll take some. He'll take some water.
Yeah.
He'll have some water, please.
Some water, please.
Stop. What do you say in your English? In your
Persian? Can you draw some
from me? Can you draw some from the well? Yes. Hooray! Did they have flow of running water where you come from? The biaru lanu chachamim ha'amitiyim b'mekamot tanal. All right, chachamim told us. Shelo kamo sherabim b'bnei aminim medamim ve'olim al libam shemashiach yavo pitom. Mashiach isn't going to come the way you thought it would come. I think, by the way, that's a good rule of thumb. Right, everybody has an idea of how Mashiach is supposed to come. And since Mashiach didn't come or isn't coming the way they think it's supposed to come, therefore, it can't be Mashiach.
It's so convenient to say, you've no idea how it's going to come, so don't try and predict it. Because you're wrong. All right, fine.
What do you mean it's so convenient? You don't think that's true?
Do you believe Mashiach's coming?
That's true.
You'll never know really how it's going to come. It'll just come and hit you one day and you go, oh yeah, that was Mashiach.
No. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, don't believe that it's supposed to come suddenly, the way you always thought it would, because that was what we clung
maybe
to.
Maybe it will come suddenly.
What?
Maybe they're wrong. Maybe it will come suddenly.
His whole idea is that we have to participate in it. We have to make it come. We have to do something to make it come. Because if you're sitting here waiting for it to come suddenly, but the way I'll put it in his words, you'll be sitting until they burn you up in the crematorium.
Do you think in Germany or in Spain or in any of these places they thought, oh, this isn't getting good for the Jews. We're doing all right. Really, we're going to get annihilated. Or we're going to get thrown out.
No, I don't think they thought that.
No. So it's easy. Not easy. But when you're coming, when you're coming out of a Holocaust, okay?
He's not coming out. He's in the middle of it.
Or in the middle of the. You know, one of the greatest devastations in Jewish history.
Okay.
Okay? So, you'd like to think that if you come out of it, it's going to get better.
Okay.
That there's going to be a dawn and everything's going to start looking lighter.
Hey, I'm sorry, you're really not being fair. Was there a dawn as soon as the Holocaust is over, pretty much?
2 years later.
Yeah, come on. So you can't deny that.
I can't deny
that. And has the dawn grown since that time?
You think you would have found some other reason to say, well, it's getting better now.
If it didn't, no.
Really? When didn't it get better? When we left Spain and we managed to find other homes and build new communities and that started dawning?
Right away? Did it get better right away?
How long did it take?
What, 5 years later? 3 years later? 2 years later?
It was a different time with different transport and different...
In the land of Israel?
Yeah, that's the missing point.
That's a little bit different.
I agree.
Oh, just that little point. Just that minor point.
I believe that this is...
Yeah.
Wait,
just playing devil's advocate with me?
No, I'm trying to say that
it's not just convenient, and he believed it before it happened.
Everything to fit into a story.
He's not. He believed it. That's exactly what he's saying. Most people say that that's exactly his point. Here's the power of this book is he said something before it happened that was against what most people believed. Most people believed that it would happen immediately, and the Mashiach was going to come and redeem them, and he was going to pull them out and miraculously save the Jewish people. Right? And he said, it's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen by a natural process.
I'm very cynical, but how many books...
And he said, excuse me, and he said it before it happened. We have the benefit of hindsight. He didn't have the benefit of hindsight. It didn't happen then. He said, the only way it will happen is if we make it happen. That's what he said. So he said, don't cling to... Because he was afraid exactly what's going to happen. This Holocaust is going to end, and people are going to be sitting around and saying, we still have to wait for Mashiach. And what happened?
And did people make it happen because of him?
What?
Because of this book, did people make it happen?
His book was a very motivating factor for a lot of people. The Jewish state did not happen because of him. It happened because of the movement that he's resonating. I mean, he's echoing a certain he's resonating a movement that existed amongst the Jewish people. But what he's trying to say is, this movement is kosher, it's not treif.
But why were the first people that picked up on that movement the opposite end of the spectrum that he's talking to?
That's a rough cook there. That's a Rav Kook thing. Rav Kook's right, and this actually answers. I encountered this a little bit. I'm not like a Rav Kook expert by any stretch. Rav Kook has a very prominent theme. He says that because the Jewish people immerse themselves in spirituality for such a long time, we were an entirely spiritual people and completely abandoned our physical nature. Would you agree with that? As a people, we were not a physical people. We didn't have an army. We didn't have an economy. We didn't have any physical attributes whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We were just an individual group of people that maintained a spiritual identity. And all of our growth and all of our expansion and all of our development was only spiritual. That, I think, is definitely true. So therefore, by necessity, Rav Kook says, when we had the opportunity to develop ourselves physically, right, the natural tendency is for the Jewish people to be drawn to that physical development until we come to some kind of balance, until the two come together, it's come to some kind of balance, and then they grow concomitantly, whatever that word is. So that would kind of address your question before, like how you would expect it to be parallel. It can't be parallel because we spend so much time pulling the other way that there was this pull going back in the other way. And that Rav Kook wrote, he said, while it's lamentable in a sense, he said the chumriyut was a necessary evil in order to regain our sense of spiritual footing in its proper place.
Why didn't it work in the past?
What?
Why didn't it work in the past?
Wouldn't what work in the past?
Same idea. Haskalah didn't work. In other places like that where there was more of an interaction and trying to like...
Oh, Rav Kook would say obviously because it wasn't based in the Jewish idea of Jewish national strength. It wasn't a Jewish national movement. It was Haskalah. It was simply a group of Jews saying we should be more smart. We should engage in study. We don't want to engage in Torah. It was an abandonment. The Haskalah was not an effort to return to our Jewish roots as a Jewish people.
In the shtetl, on places that I have really no knowledge of,
yeah,
they grow their own food. They were part of the agricultural process.
Some of them were farmers, sure. So but not as the Jewish people, not as
right,
the Jewish farm.
It's not connected to
it was a job, like any other job. Like you were an accountant, like some guy was a computer programmer, like whatever.
So your spirituality you're talking about is a collective... I mean, collective physicality.
Yes.
Connected to
a collective physicality as a national entity.
Right.
As a power. Too esoteric?
Mm.
Too out there?
No.
That's what he says. Okay, and that would sort of address your question. Whether you buy it or not is entirely another issue. Okay.
Isn't that we're in the right place to be only spiritual?
What's that?
We're now in the right place to be only spiritual.
No way. I think we're getting to the point where we're in the right place to be physical and spiritual at the same time. Do you think that our physical development now matches our spiritual growth of the past 2,000 years? I mean, we spent the Jewish people spent, what do we invest in Judaically?
What Kevin's saying, the religious members of Israel are going in the spiritual path.
Yeah.
And maybe not taking the physical with them.
I don't understand. I don't understand what you're getting at.
No. Not going into the army, not working, not...
You can't get everybody...
So what? Yeah. No, so. Really? Look at the whole.
If they said, this is not for us, but it is for you. But that's not what they're saying.
First of all, I have a different view than most people.
And it's not everybody.
I have a different view than most people about this. What they're saying and what they're doing are a very different things. So what they're saying out loud is, this is not for anyone. Everyone has to sit and learn. What they're really doing is, many, many people and many more people will continue to go out and learn for a while and then get a job. Watch it happen. Because it can't last, and they know it can't last. So what they're saying and what they're doing are very different things. What we say and we do are also very different things. In every yeshivat hesder, what do they have? A kolo. Where they have plenty of guys who sit and learn forever.
No, but they're not working for Israel. They're not building Israel. They're
who?
Working.
The Haredim?
Yeah.
Have you been to Kiryat Sefer? Have you been to Bnei Brak? Bnei Brak is it's a good example, but not really. Have you been to Beitar? These are major cities in the Jewish people, major cities in the Jewish country. Are these cities important places for Jewish safety, stability, and security? Does it matter that they don't pick up a gun to defend themselves?
No.
Right.
It's not the same. You're telling me they didn't work in Germany?
What?
They didn't work in Germany or Poland or anywhere.
Because this isn't Germany or Poland. This is Eretz Israel.
He's causing this issue to get stronger.
Fine, but that's not what we're saying. We're saying we were spiritual people. And now we came and we attached ourselves to a physical, to the land.
Correct.
To the physical side.
Not just that, to being a country, to being a nation, to having an army, to having a foreign policy, to being in the United Nations. All these are very significant things. To be in the OECD, whatever that thing is.
I could be wrong. I don't know Kirat Sefer. I don't know Betar, all these places. The impression I get is that they could be in another country doing the same thing.
Absolutely not, because I'll tell you why. Because they still order food, and they still pay, well, whatever taxes they pay, and they still have needs, and they still do, and they're still part of the economy, and they still contribute to whatever degree to the workforce, and they still have to be defended, and they still occupy area, excuse me, and they still occupy area, and they're still part of the population. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is strength. Numbers are strength and power.
But it's a very positive thing that they hear.
So it's totally different.
I'm not sorry, from my perspective.
I mean, Kiryat Sefer and Kiryat Yoel.
We've given up. We've realized we now have to build both a physical presence.
Correct.
And a spiritual presence. I'm saying that there's still a large community who are very much focused on being a spiritual people.
Correct. But the fact that they're doing it here contributes to the physical presence and the physical strength as well. So Kiryat Sefer and Kiryat Yoel are very different things.
I'll still take
it. You know, Kiryat Yoel is. It's like
a little
bit
of a larger step, though. Right? There's insular fighting that's still going on. But there's also, if you want to talk about, you know, the fact that we're moving forward and that we're getting more involved and much more, you know, physically involved in this world. Still, if you take a look at, you know, the acceptance of Israel in the World Forum,
mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot more pushback and against Israel worldwide than there has been in previous years as well.
Of course. You know why?
Okay.
Getting stronger. Of course there is. Because it's a force to be reckoned with.
I think that's it.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, you mean more probably. You can ignore.
Really?
I think so.
You think
so all the countries in South America, they really
we're
care about
ally because we're stronger.
With who? We're a better ally? So,
we're a better ally.
No.
No, it's rubbish. The reason we're much more under threat is because the Arab world is taking the Arabs are taking over the rest of the world, and therefore they're much more of a threat. Half of Europe is Arab now, and therefore they're stronger and they've got more power, and you don't want to scare those people because they're running your country. It's not because we're getting so strong; it's because they're getting stronger and they're populating more. Therefore, Israel, albeit very democratic and a great place to be and a great ally, is no longer really what's going to get me voted into office.
You think Israel was such a good ally of, for a period of time, there was a lot of Holocaust guilt when that ran out.
What would you take? A bunch of dictatorships?
Well, you think England was always our best friend?
Who burn your flag and want the death of you? And who actually control your oil, by the way.
Yeah.
This is not the reason because we're so much stronger. We are getting stronger and it's great for us, but ultimately.
But I'm saying that.
Time, they can turn
that,
it off.
That process of getting stronger could very well be the process of the Geula that we're talking about, but just not in the terms that we thought about it.
Okay.
That's all? Okay, that's exactly what he said. Lo kimo shirabi b'nei amenu medamim ve'ola alibam shemashiach yov yisrael pitom. It's not going to happen the way you thought it would happen suddenly. Kinaharsha teif mafilado or gadol, just a river that blows through b'pam achat. Ki'im aliyatam tehe me'at me'at. It'll be slowly, slowly, madrega la madrega, from one step to the next. He doesn't say going down, by the way. V'achashi draglu la'otam madrega, yadu la madrega shalamala mimena, ad shi'alu v'yavu la madrega yoter gvoha. Now, if you'd ask me, Rav Teichler was talking spiritually.
He didn't know Penrose.
He was talking spiritually, I think. You understand what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean that I'm personally bound by what he was envisioning. Adishavahu gulu madrega ta'alo tsulam beit el me'at me'at. Because they adjusted to the ladder in Beit El, which is obviously an allusion to Yaakov's dream. Ki aliyakim orega mikatzei acharon el katzei elyon, because they're going up in an instant from the bottom lowest rung to the highest. Milvachi v'chokam emziut. To be honest with you, it's difficult to imagine. Avgam zot him am bnei Yisrael lo yichul lisbol rov tava. Just people would not be able to handle that kind of goodness. You just had serious bowel surgery. Hey, anybody? How about some roast beef? I don't think so. First, if you're lucky, clear liquids. Then some shoko. And then maybe, you know, a couple weeks later, if you want the roast beef, maybe. It's a good analogy, isn't it? If you're sick, they don't give you the most elegant, most opulent food. Someone who is hidden in a darkened house, in pitam yarviu or gadol, if they open it up, lo yuchal lehanot mizim oro. It's too bright. That's what he said, the Mishami and the Zohar we skipped. But it says, the Zohar is the same as the Mishami. You can look back if you want. The same thing is about the redemption. It will happen in steps as a process and not at once. It says, I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu. God said, if I look at the deeds of the Jewish people, they will never be redeemed. Who should I look at? La'avotehem ha'kadoshim. Just don't remember where I am. Okay. I'm looking at the Avot. Chen katev Rebbe Gaon Rebbeinu Mivilna, the Vilna Gaon said in his book Eved Shlomo, Shagula, lo tiyayidei tshuva, ela b'schut Avot. It won't be tshuva, rather b'schut Avot, kamo sh'anurim b'tfila ha-shmonasre. V'zocher chasdei Avot, maybe gorelik, maybe nehem. That'll be because of b'schut Avot. V'kevran sh'mitzad ma'asei v'lo niyekidayim v'zeh, since we're not worthy, lo tiyayibenes nigla, v'nes ha-melubash v'teva. It'll be a miracle adorned in nature. The economic miracle, the military miracle, however you want to say it, the natural miracle. Okay, lo tuchal liyot v'at achat, ela ma'at ma'at, moshetavti le'el. But that's not enough for people. No! I want them all to be firm now. I want everybody to see the light right away. Because otherwise it can't be Mashiach. Well, who says Mashiach? We'll see what you say. Let's finish up this piece. V'nir alit mizum deh, kinu b'nevi'en Mashiach, t'kinu b'shem tzemach. Right, Mashiach is called Tzemach. The Chiv says, "Hine mivinachem et avdi Tzemach, my servant Tzemach. Ish Tzemach shemo umitachtav Tzemach. Zecharia. Vakim ledi b'David Tzemach. Moshe anu mitfilatenu v'zisei en shemun esrei et Tzemach David avdecha meherat atzmiach. What is Tzemach? Litzmoach? Sprout. The growing, the growth. Well, the Arshani Krab b'sefer al-Bagon b'sefer Ezrat Kohanim b'shem Ashir deGiborim. He says, the Alkei Nikras Ubavel Tzemach. Zubavel is called Tzemach. Ki ma'alato tiyah kmo Tzemach ha'adama. Will be like the sprout of the earth. Shagodel ma'at ma'at. Kei ma'alato tale ma'at ma'at ha'shitam ma'od. It grows little by little. Okay, and Mashiach Nikra gam kein Tzemach. Mashiach is also called growth, sprout. Shkein tale ma'alato ma'at ma'at ha'shitam ma'od. Mo Tzemach ha'adama. Right? You know, you ever try to watch a tree grow? You could see it if you take a step back and look at it from time to time. If you try to watch it grow, you won't see anything. It will happen through natural means. See, this is what's amazing about the book. This happened, he wrote this before any of this happened. And now we can look back and say, can I look back and look at the state, the creation of the state, and say, Would I say that that's an accurate description? It's a neis hamulubash b'teva. Any objective observer who with some spirituality will look back and say, yes, it's a neis hamulubash b'teva. Don't think so?
There ain't any spirituality.
You can just see it.
Yeah.
But he wrote it before it happened. And that's amazing. It's pretty impressive. We need that time of natural growth. It's obvious from Mashiach Beit Leberek Rishon, from Minu Maharal, Minu Yavetz, B'tam that Tzarotech of LeMashiach, B'hu B'chinat He'eder Kodem Havaya. And that's why if it has to be natural, that's why we have to suffer. Because remember, right, in a natural state, when does growth happen to the seed? What happens to the seed before it can grow? It rots. It disintegrates. It has to be brought into nothingness, and then you're the gardener.
Whatever's
the seed, when you plant the earth.
The outside is rotten, but
correct.
The inside is
growing.
Right.
The example they gave is an egg. When the egg, right, it's growing, it's also misrach. It smells, stinks. Okay? That's nature. Nature is like that, right? What does bread smell like when it's fermenting? Stinks. Right, it's rotting and growing at the same time. I think that's a process of nature. They compared redemption to the growth of an egg. So too, our redemption will be natural. I'm telling you, whatever I said to you was truth. Meaning, you don't like what I have to say, that's fine. But as he said in his introduction, disprove it with Torah. Don't disprove it with which is basically what everybody does. Just not, it's not true. Give me a break. I brought you Rayot. I brought you Midrashim. I brought you proofs. You don't like it? Disprove me. If you can't, shut up. Basically. Nuv'ot mimakor ma'ayan tahor shabbatin ba'alei ha'shas v'zohar v'yushalmi u'midrash u'dolich ha'chamin ha'kamaral v'yavitz shubalei ruach ha'kodesh. You don't like my proofs? Disprove me. And if you can't do it, keep your mouth shut. Stop here.